Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me. In all of your work that you do running the Nonfiction Authors Association and putting together the Nonfiction Authors Conference, I want to talk to you about the people that you serve who are, my people. They are nonfiction authors, right?
Yes.
How did you tell those who are not familiar with your story how you ended up doing what you're doing today? Because it's an interesting story.
Oh my goodness, it's a crazy story. I'm a Silicon Valley refugee. I quit my soul-sucking job and opened a bookstore and thought I was going to sit in the back office and write novels. That was back in 2003, and I quickly discovered I was a terrible novelist and I hated running a retail store. But it was a great training ground for learning about business marketing and also, getting to play around with writing. And when I realized I wasn't a good novelist, I fortunately discovered that nonfiction, was like this happy accident to discover how much I love nonfiction. It's what I had always read, yet. When you grow up wanting to write, you just kind of naturally think you're supposed to write a novel.
That's right. We assume it's a novel. The fiction writers get all the glory,
Right.
right?
Nobody ever told me any different. And I actually read a book called Damn, Why Didn't I Write That by Mark McCutcheon. And it was about the wonders of nonfiction. And it was like, wow, it opened up the whole world to me. So, I was traditionally published, I hated being traditionally published. And while I was under contract, I started my own publishing company, Authority Publishing, focused exclusively on nonfiction. And then I'm off speaking at writers' conferences. You and I have shared the stage many times. And I was really disappointed by how few conferences focus on us nonfiction writers. So in 2010, I launched an online nonfiction writers conference, and then our attendees kept saying, "How do we keep in touch afterward?" And I thought, "How is it there's no association for nonfiction writers? That seems impossible." But there wasn't, and there's still, we're the only ones. So we launched the association in 2013, and I'm really passionate about working with nonfiction authors and their books because that's what makes a difference in the world, are the books that help educate us and, open our eyes to new experiences and history, and they're just so powerful.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I love that what you've done has been driven, first from your experiences, but then second from what people say. It's like there is no place for these people for authors, nonfiction authors, so I'm going to make one. That's great. It's you're listening, you're paying attention to the people that you serve, and that's driving what you do, right?
That's absolutely true.
Yeah. So you have written a mess of books.
Yeah.
So that's a technical. We need a plural noun for books. I don't know, a bevy of books. A lot of books that share different aspects of your expertise. Tell me a little bit about how the books fit into the whole picture of what you do, right? I mean, do you speak first and then write the book? Do you write the book and then speak? Do you know, how's that?
Yeah. Honestly, I think I'm a writer more than I'm a speaker, even though I do a fair amount of it. I'd rather be at my desk writing, as I think a lot of people would. So if I had the choice, that's the way I'd rather operate. And actually, I think the pandemic's going to change a lot about travel, and I'm cool with that. As much as I enjoy, I'll still go to a few writers' conferences every year, but because I love the people and engaging, but I don't like the travel. I don't like being away from home. I hate airplanes. I'm happy to see that go away. But my most recent book is the Nonfiction Book Publishing Plan, and it literally walks people through every step to get your book published. And I can't believe I didn't write it sooner because it feels like duh, like this, I should have written this ages ago. This is what I've been doing for years. And it's been well received, and it's been a great journey. So my books are informed by my audience as well. What are they asking for? And I listened, like you said, to those things. That's how every bit of my business has started. That's how my blog content is created. It's all based on listening to the audience.
And that book on the nonfiction book publishing plan is wonderful. I mean, it's I read it. It lays out so much great advice, so I highly recommend people
Thank
look at
you.
that. And it's very very needed. Have you heard back from people who have used that book, who have talked to you about their experiences with it?
Yes, I have. And it's so rewarding to know that this is helping people. But the other thing that I didn't realize was going to happen is this book has brought me a lot of clients, because they read it and they go, oh, this is way too much work, right?
Yeah, right.
I don't want to do this. And so, and actually some big corporate clients, because we're still publishing. I don't talk about that as much because the association is really where all my energy has been. But I've had a publishing company since 2008. I have a team that manages all of that. And we've surprisingly generated quite a bit of new business because of the book, which also speaks to the value of writing a book as, you know, the old business card standard. That really wasn't my intention when I wrote it. So it was kind of a quiet perk.
Yeah, and I think that's a really interesting point, though, because I think when you write it with the intention of getting business, it comes across differently. I think that when you write it with the intention of sharing as genuinely everything you can about it, you're being transparent, you're saying this is the value, this is what you do, it's quite possible. I mean, you and I have both had the experience of reading a book where clearly someone was writing it to get clients, right? We can tell. The readers are not stupid.
Well, and also those books that kind of make one promise but then hold back, right?
Yes.
That drives me nuts. Like, you know, here's an introduction. Same thing with the webinars. Here's a little taste, but if you really want to know, go to sign up for my program or my $1 million coaching package or whatever it is. I hate that. I believe in give it all away.
Yep. Exactly. And I think you build a different kind of audience when you do that. More to the point, you succeed along what you're trying to do, which is to serve your audience, right? And you hear back from them.
You do. And the other part of that is people still want help, right? So some people are do-it-yourselfers. They're like, great, thanks, I'm going to go do it myself. And then there's other people who are like, this is good, but can you walk me through it or hold my hand through it? And that's going to bring you the business. So
Right. Give
away all your best information.
That's such
a believer in that.
Right. And those people who took your book and are like, this is awesome, if they run into somebody else who wants more help, they're going to say, well, you know, who wrote the book on this? Whose advice I'm using? It's Stephanie's, you know, it's Stephanie Chandler. So you build your people, you find your people, you give them what they need, and they help you spread the word, which is the beauty of it, right?
It is. Aren't we lucky to do this?
We are lucky. But, you know, you talk about luck, but if you look at what you've done, it's not luck. It is trial and error, experimentation, serving others. I mean, you had that vision. I love this idea because I think we've all had the vision. What if I had just a little bookstore and I could sit in the back and write books? You know? That's like the people who want to go start a little bed and breakfast because they like, you know, baking scones. I'm like, oh, there's a lot more involved than baking scones.
Right.
So, you know, so you've learned from your experiments, you've learned from your trials, and it's one thing I think people don't sometimes spend enough time talking about. If you look at the period of time over which you have built what you have done, has been some time, right? This is not a quick and easy follow my three steps and life is beautiful, right? It's gradual building.
Yeah, I mean, I started in 2003 as an entrepreneur, so it's 17 years, which is nuts to me. And it's the path has twisted and turned and taken. And if you'd asked me if I'd be doing this, you know, 20 years ago, I would have thought you were crazy. And, you know, I just listened. And I think that's a big golden nugget for writers. You know, listen to the audience, listen to those universal nudges. What are you supposed to be doing? And who do you want to help? You know, for me, it's important to have purpose in my life. And there was a period where when I was in the middle of doing all this, I struggled with, well, am I living my purpose? And then I realized maybe what part of my purpose is to help other people achieve their purpose. And that really fuels me when I think about that, I'm getting to help influence other people getting their books in the world and marketing them and reaching bigger audiences. So if I didn't have that, this would not be nearly as fun because I need to feel like it matters.
Yeah. And sometimes, like you said, the way that we matter is by enabling other people to matter, right? I mean, we don't get to necessarily define exactly what our impact is going to be on the world. We just keep acting and hoping it plays out,
right? That's right.
Yeah. So what's been anything surprising about this adventure?
All of it. I didn't expect to be here. I never really set out to be a speaker. That was something that I just kind of had to accept.
Right. And you do very well. I've heard you speak. You do very well.
Thank you.
Right.
And that's part, maybe a good message too. We can learn to do all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Right. None of it doesn't mean that you have to be natural at it. And there's a lot of people who love speaking and they live for it. I'm not one of those people. I had to learn the skill.
Yeah.
And you can teach yourself to be a writer, and you can teach yourself to be a marketer. You can learn. The resources are there.
Yeah, more probably right now than at any point in time recorded history, right? The resources are there. Everything you need is if you have the time and energy and are willing to climb up that learning curve.
That's right. That's absolutely true.
Yeah. At the same time, it's important, I think, for authors to remember that while they can learn everything, they can't learn everything all at once.
No, and it's a huge industry, right? There's so much. It can be incredibly overwhelming to embark on publishing.
Yeah.
So, that's normal.
That's
very normal to be overwhelmed by this industry.
Yeah. You need to sort of pick it off bit by bit and learn what you need to learn as you go. Yeah. So you are, you started out traditionally published. You are now obviously running your own publishing company. So you are an indie publisher. You have published your own books and you help other authors publish theirs. Do you think of yourself as an indie publisher or a hybrid press? How does that orient? I know these terms are also, nebulous.
They are. I've always called us a custom publishing firm, but it's all the same. We're a hybrid.
Okay.
We work with indie authors. They retain their rights. That's really important to me. So
All of the above. Right. Excellent. Good. And what a time it's been to be in publishing. Right.
And have you noticed, I don't know if you're hearing this too, but in March when California kind of went on lockdown and the pandemic started to blow up, I thought, oh boy, I wonder what this is going to do to, our lives as publishers. And we have a community of authors and who subscribe to be members. And we saw an initial kind of flurry of, a couple dozen people fell off. But then as time has gone on, all of those people have come back and then some. So we're actually busier than we've ever been.
Isn't that interesting?
And I find that really interesting on the publishing side as well. And I think part of that is because people have more time on their hands. They're not traveling.
Right.
They're not going out on the weekends for social activities.
Yep.
So it's like time to get their books done. So now more than ever, it's a great time to be focused on that.
Right. Well, it also gives us something future focused to work on right now in a time of great uncertainty. It's really wonderful to say, okay, here's this future thing and I am making tangible progress towards it every day right now. How cool is that? Right.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of babies and a lot of books will come from this pandemic.
I know. We'll wait till next year when they all come out.
I know. That's crazy. And you will have had a hand in the books part.
Part. I hope so. A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. That's great. So let's see. This is a question I ask of everybody. And it's always hard to put you on the spot because you've written a whole book of it, which is, what advice would you give somebody who is, who has something they want to serve people with? They were thinking of doing a book. They are maybe not sure where to begin. You've obviously written an entire book on it. So that's why I say, what advice, what's your top piece of advice? What would you say to encourage or guide somebody in that situation?
Well, I would say, don't put it off. And I've noticed this through the membership. Our membership, it tends to be older because people wait until they're retiring because they have the free time to finally write the book. And, life is short. And I hate the thought of people putting off a big life goal for when they have more time. And, you know, not to say that I personally want to write more as well. I struggle with carving out time to write. But I do know that when I do it, I never regret carving out time to write. I've never regretted finishing a book. In fact, it's like one of the most rewarding experiences you can have, wouldn't you say, Anne?
Yeah. It is. It's finishing something big. It's very fulfilling. And then when you get it out in the world and it starts to ripple back at you.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. Right?
Reader feedback. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. I've had people come up to me at writers' conferences with tattered copies of my books. And that will never get old. That means the world to me. I want to take a picture with their book. Look at what someone did to this book. So do it. Yeah. Just don't wait, because you'll regret it and it will be one of the most rewarding things you've ever done.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Maybe not rewarding in the way that you initially, it may be rewarding in surprising ways. I think that's one of the other lessons, right?
That's a great point, because so many authors come into this thinking, it'll sell, millions of copies. And unfortunately, that is not the reality at all.
Yeah.
Unless you really, really, really work hard. Selling books is a lot harder than people realize. So I always try to set expectations with authors.
Yeah. Yeah. It is much harder. It's hard for self-published authors. It is hard for traditionally published authors as well. It's always on the author at this point. People think, no, if I get a publishing deal, I'll just send the manuscript in and I'm done. Sit back and eat bonbons.
Yeah, if only.
We would all be lined up for those deals if that was the case.
That's right. Oh my gosh, wouldn't we?
Yeah, that's great. Great advice, Stephanie. Thank you so much for sharing it. You continue to share generously all kinds of things on the Nonfiction Authors Association. So I'm going to encourage people to go check that out. Check out your conferences and your books. But thank you
so much, Anne. I love what you do as well. It's a mutual admiration society here.
Thanks.